tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Music is incredibly powerful. It has been said that music is a soundtrack to our lives. I bet that if you've ever been through heartache, especially a broken heart from a relationship, I bet you there's a song that went along with that heartache. In fact, today, to this point, if that song ever comes on, I bet it reminds you of past relationships. If you don't have a heartache attached to a song, I bet you have a great memory. There's a song that comes on, and when you hear it, you're instantly transported back to a different time and a different place years ago. Music is so powerful, it sticks with us. But music is more than something that just helps us pass time or just enjoy moments. Music actually has some healing effects. And it may be hard to believe, but according to doctors and scientists, music can help reduce pain resulting from several conditions like osteoarthritis, disc problems, or rheumatoid arthritis by up to 21%. Simply listening to music can actually heal the body. The American Society of Hypertension reported that listening daily to just 30 minutes of some music genres like classical, Celtic, or reggae music may noticeably lower high blood pressure. Music has also been known to lessen the length of migraines, reduce stress, and improve immunity. Music is incredibly powerful. And the right music, our body responds to it and it brings healing. But science and research has also shown that the wrong music can have negative effects on us. It has been proven through medical research that long exposure to the band Nickelback can actually kill you earlier in life. Music is incredibly powerful, and so that's one of the reasons why we're doing this series entitled Lyrically Speaking. It is a series where we're featuring creatively a song that you may be familiar with, that you may know, and we're looking at how it points us back to God. The song that we're featuring today is a massive hit. It came out years and years ago, but guarantee that most of you in the room have at some point heard this song. The song was originally written by Paul Simon and performed by Simon and Garfunkel. When they originally came out with the song, they played it for producers and instantly got a record deal because they loved the song so much. They put it on an album and released the album out into the public, and the album flopped royally. It was such a massive flop, it led Simon and Garfunkel to part ways and actually break up. One of them was living in England, one of them was living in New York, and they just had assumed that their music careers were over. They were no longer going to be a rock duo, rock band. Well, College Station started playing this song, and it started to capture some attention, and the song ended up becoming such a massive hit that the recording studio called them and said, you guys got to get back together. So Simon and Garfunkel reunited together, put out an album, named the album after this song, and became an instant classic duo. In fact, one of the most influential musical artists in the history of the world. The song has been said to be the 18th most played song in the 20th century. Let that sink in just for a second. Out of all the songs that are played, this song has been played 18th most. It is such a powerful and impactful song that when someone covers it, it actually becomes a huge, massive hit. Some of you may be familiar with the heavy metal band Disturbed. They covered this song, and it became the biggest hit of their careers. Even more recently than that, the song was featured in the movie Trolls, and if you've ever seen that movie, it's a great sing-along movie with a great soundtrack. But without further ado, I now present to you this week's song, The Sound of Silence. Why is silence so awkward? In life, we're pretty attuned to the things that we're afraid of. And yet, very few of us, if asked, what are you afraid of, would say that we're afraid of silence, but we are deathly afraid of silence. We show this in the fact that we live lives that are anti-silence. When we go to the gym, we bring headphones and listen to music, or when we are in our cars, which is an opportunity oftentimes to be alone with our thoughts, what do? We turn on the radio, we listen to talk radio, or we listen to music. In fact, when it's silent, what do we say? It feels awkward. This week, I was going to the gym, and I normally bring my headphones to either watch TV as I exercise or to listen to music, and I left my headphones, and it was like this huge, massive internal struggle. Like, I had to convince myself that I could actually work out without music. And I had to give myself a pep talk because it just felt like it wasn't right. And I want to tell you, without music, the time dragged on forever. Like, I kept telling myself, don't look at the time. Just exercise until you think 30 minutes is almost up. I looked down, 2 minutes had passed. Silence is awful. We absolutely hate to be alone with our thoughts. Silence is awkward. Silence allows us to hear things in our head, and a lot of times we don't like the voices that we hear. But what research is showing is that in order to be most productive in life, you actually need some alone time. You need some time to actually think, and in order to produce high amounts of quality, you need massive amounts of alone time to simply process the problems that you live in. It's interesting, the song The Sound of Silence was birthed out of silence. Paul Simon is the author, he's the guy that wrote the song, and oftentimes in New York, he would go to his apartment, and in the bathroom, he would love to sing because it was a small tiled bathroom, and he loved the way his voice sounded in the bathroom. And so he would turn off the lights in his bathroom, and he would just play his guitar, and what he said is he loved it because he was alone with his thoughts. And so the opening line to The Sound of Silence says, "Hello, darkness, my old friend, I've come to talk to you again." It is a reference to being alone with his own thoughts, being in silence. From there, though, the song transitions and talks about people meeting one another. In fact, the song lyrics that I find fascinating are, "In the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share, and no one dared disturb the sound of silence." Garfunkel, which was part of the duo Simon and Garfunkel, he summed up the song's meaning as the inability of people to communicate with each other, not particularly internationally, but especially emotionally. So what you see around you are people who are unable to love each other. And this song was written during the hippie era, but I think it is so relevant for us today that we are constantly surrounded by people, and yet because of all the noise, we have a difficult time actually loving people. I'm convinced we have a hard time loving people because we actually don't know how to love ourselves. And maybe the reason why we don't know how to love ourselves is because we never spend any time alone with our thoughts. We are constantly around noise, and we are constantly stressed. So we go from one event to the next, just hoping that it will give some meaning to our lives. But what we are finding is that we are like the hamster in a wheel. We are just spinning around, and we are productive, and we are moving, and we are shaking, but we're just not getting a lot done. And what science and research has told us is that because of all the information, our brains currently right now are unable to shut off. That the reason so many of us have a hard time falling asleep at night is because our brains are on information overload. The human brain was only meant to take in 7 new thoughts in a day. And yet today, because of smartphones and television, we are bombarded with information. So what if our busyness, what if all of our distractions, and what if even something as great as a smartphone is literally snuffing out the presence of God? What if the reason we don't know our purpose is because we've never heard God tell us why He created us? What if in all of our busyness where we're searching for some type of meaning, we've actually missed that the meaning comes in the stillness? Research has shown, and a lot of scientists and medical doctors are researching this heavily because social media and smartphones are a new phenomenon. There's not enough research out to know the impact of social media on our lives because it's so new. But they're starting to research it, and they're starting to figure it out. And what they're saying is that even though smartphones are great, and even though there's nothing wrong with having social media, we are so addicted to it that we are just filling our brains with noise. And often when we can't sleep, we go to our smartphones or we go to television, but what it's doing is it's stimulating our brains, and so we wake up tired because we didn't get enough sleep, and we go from one busy thing to the next, and we think, well, maybe if I just keep busy, if I keep just moving, if I keep going, then I'll get somewhere. But we never find ourselves actually getting there. And I love the fact that finally science and the medical community is echoing what Scripture has said for thousands of years. Our text today is going to say something that is so key. And if you have ever felt empty inside, If you've ever felt like you don't know what your purpose is, if you've ever felt like you're accomplishing a lot, but you're doing very little that's meaningful in this world, then this scripture is for you. Thousands of years ago, there was a group of maidens who were on their way to the temple to praise God, to sing songs to God, and someone recorded their song, and they put it in a book of songs called the Psalms. The Psalms are found in the scripture, and they're simply songs about God to God. Sometimes they're psalms of lament, where they simply cry out and they say, "Where are you, God?" Have you ever sang that song? Have you ever been through a difficult phase and just said, "God, I'm struggling here. Would you just speak? Would you do something?" And these maidens are singing about the world that they're in. They're singing about the wars that they've seen, and they're singing about the troubles that they've seen, and they're singing about God on the way to the temple. And on the way to the temple, God responds, and this is where we get our scripture for today. Now, at Next Level, we stand to show honor to the text, so I want to invite all of you to stand to your feet, and would you read this nice and loud with me? This comes from Psalm 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." At the very beginning, what if we just put this into practice and we were still? For 30 seconds, would you just quietly be still and talk to God? If you don't know what to say, you could say a simple prayer like, "God, speak to my heart," and just see what He does. Will you guys pray? God, you know what a struggle it is to be human. And some of us don't mean to be distracted, God. It's just our attempt to find purpose and meaning. And so we ask right now, God, that you would break through all the noise in our lives. We ask right now that you'd break through all of our distractions. We ask that you'd even break through the tiredness that some of us feel. And that, God, you would just speak to our hearts. And God, I personally wish that sometimes you would yell at us. I wish sometimes you would just speak audibly so that we could hear you. But what I know is that you speak in a quiet whisper. So God, in the next few moments, would you help us to quiet our own minds and our own hearts so that we can hear your very voice? And would you give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do? I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I was reading a fascinating article that was talking about how our brains are just overstimulated. And the article was written by someone incredibly smart on the internet, and it said, "Information overload clogs our ability to function effectively." That information overload clogs our ability to function effectively. That what it's saying is that we think that the key to all of our problems is more information, but what more information does is it actually pauses us from doing anything. It is understood through research that if you hear 3 points, you will do nothing about all 3 of them. Your brain, and typically the way people preach, pastors preach, they give you 3 points in a sermon, and what you do is you nod your head and you say, "That's good," but you leave and you do absolutely nothing, and it's because your brain cannot capture all 3 thoughts. And we do this when we read books while music is on. We're hearing multiple information at the same time. We do this while we're on our smartphones and we're watching TV. We do this at our jobs when we sit at a desk and we listen to music. We are constantly distracted. There is so much noise. There is so much noise pollution and things going on that is literally pulling us away from doing anything productive. It's amazing how much research has come out about the power of silence. And if you're here today and you would say, "You know what, I don't know if I fully buy into God. I don't know if I really believe that He even exists," I'm so happy that you're here. In fact, this is a safe place for you to come and just check things out. We don't have all the answers. We're not perfect. We make lots of mistakes ourselves. What we're all doing and the thing that we all have in common is we're just hoping that a God does exist. And we're hoping that we can actually interact with Him. And especially when lives get messy, we want to know that we're not alone in the universe. And so often, I'm convinced the reason why we feel like we're alone is because we don't allow God to speak into our lives. The psalmist, look again, this is God's exact words. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." He didn't say be active. He didn't say be productive. He didn't say chase a bunch of things. He didn't say overschedule your kids. He didn't say run around doing a lot of stuff. He didn't say accomplish a lot. What he said is be still. The original language that this scripture was written in is the Hebrew language, and the word that is used is the Hebrew word for enough. It's so powerful, as in enough. Enough running around thinking that you are God, and the only way things will get accomplished is if you do it all. Enough. Enough running from one activity to the next without any margin to actually process what you just experienced. Enough. Enough filling our lives with noise so that we feel productive, but yet not accomplishing very much. Enough. Enough. You weren't meant to carry the world's problems on your shoulders. It's what God's for. And yet so many of us feel like we have to help God out. And if we don't move, if we don't do something, if we don't carry the world, nothing is going to get done. And there's a time and place for activity. You shouldn't be lazy. There is a time and place for work. But science is showing us that you actually get more work done when you carve out time to be alone. You're actually more productive when you spend time thinking about your problems than when you just run around trying to solve all of your problems. Our lives have become an everlasting sprint with no sign of a finish line. And I don't know if you feel this. Maybe you guys are way more relaxed than I am, but I feel that. I feel like life is a sprint. I'm just running from one thing to the next. I'm trying to keep up. I'm trying to catch up. I'm trying to keep my head above the water. We're just sprinting around without any time for margin. And isn't it true, though, that we feel like this busyness does give us a purpose? Like, you may not put it into those words, but if you were to talk to someone that you're friends with, and you would see them out in public, and you'd say, hey, it's so good to see you, you would ask them, how are you doing? And how would they respond? I'm busy. I guess only two of you actually talk to people out in public. It's a phrase I get all the time. Hey, how you doing? So good to see you. And they say what? I'm busy. Just busy. We say I'm busy like it's a badge of honor. Like, this is what we believe. If you're just honest with yourself, and I know it's hard to do. I know it's hard to be honest. I know it's hard to reflect. But if you were honest with yourself, we know people would judge us if they said, hey, how you doing? And you said, I'm relaxed. I don't have a lot going on. How you doing? I took a nap today. That's how I'm doing. Like, we've convinced ourselves that if we're not busy, we don't have meaning in our lives. And I don't know where this lie comes from. I don't know how it is birthed inside of us. I try to be an honest person. I want to be an authentic person. But there's a time in my life where I feel drawn to lying. And it is when I'm taking a nap and my phone rings. And when I pick up the phone, I try to clear my voice so it doesn't sound like I'm sleeping. It's like, hello? And every time, what do they say on the other end of the phone? Were you sleeping? And in that moment, I want to lie. No, I wasn't sleeping. I was doing something manly, like working on a car while mowing the lawn and hammering something. I'm too busy to take a nap. Why do I feel drawn to lie about taking a nap? It is because we have believed that we don't have significance unless we're busy. And don't we believe this about our kids too? We are so afraid that if our kids say the word, I'm bored, they're going to end up in a mental hospital. So we overschedule our kids and we just give them stuff. And when they start to act up, we say, here's a smartphone, entertain yourself. We have lost the ability to think in silence. We are afraid of alone time. And yet, what did God say? If you want to know me, be still. I love what Tim Kreider says. He says, busyness serves as a kind of existential reassurance, a hedge against emptiness. Obviously, your life cannot possibly be silly or trivial or meaningless if you are so busy, completely booked in demand every hour of the day. Obviously, you must be important if you're busy. Which, what is the reverse of this? Obviously, you're not important if you're not busy. So what do we do? We fill our calendars with stuff. And when we fill our calendars with stuff, what do? We end up saying, I don't have time to do the very things that God created us to do. So when it comes to the spiritual things, when it comes to feeding our soul, our busyness leads us to say, I don't have time. So when you are challenged, you should read your Bible. What do you say? I'm just so busy. You should spend time praying. I know that. I know I should. One day I will when things settle down. But right now, what am I? I'm so busy. We say this about church as well. I would love to go to church more, but I'm just so busy. Our busyness is literally snuffing out the presence of God. And we are so busy running around trying to accomplish so much stuff that we're actually accomplishing very little. Your greatest significance is found not in what you do, but what God has done for you. And I need you to wrap your minds around that, because you think that your biggest significance is found in what you do, but that is not the case. Your biggest significance is found in what God has done for you. Why is that important? Because if you don't know what God has done for you, you will chase other people's approval. And we run around waiting for someone to say, you're a good boy, you're a good girl. We are constantly chasing validation. We want other people to just say, you're living this life good. You're living it well. We want someone to notice that we are working hard, that we're doing a good job, that we're good parents, that we're good Americans, that we're good people. We want validation. And yet, when we get validation, it just makes us crave more. Why? Because ultimately, our souls cannot be validated by anything but our Creator. And if you've never spent time alone in the presence of God to hear what He says about you, you will constantly be chasing other people's approval, longing for someone just to give you some significance in this world. Now, let me tell you what God says about you, though. God says that you do matter. And God says that you do have a purpose. And God says He didn't create any accidents. And God says that the reason you're here for this time is to accomplish something more than just running around. You're to accomplish something divine. You are the hands and feet of God everywhere you go. And this story is not just about you. It's not just about running around accomplishing stuff. It's about making Him famous. And the way that you make Him famous is allow Him to tell you who you are. But you'll never know who you are unless you embrace the stillness where the voice of God speaks. Blaise Pascal was a 17th century philosopher. He said, "All the unhappiness of men arises from one simple fact, that they cannot sit quietly in their chamber." Being still, it's what gives us what we crave the most, a break. Don't you wish you could have a break? But here's what we do. When we get a chance to have a break, we fill our lives, we fill our space with more noise. I love TV. I probably love TV more than any of you. I love movies. I love my smartphone. I love social media. I love it all. But what research is showing us is that when we think that our break from the world is more information, it is actually causing overstimulation in our brains. And what we need to do is we can have some time for social media and we can have some time for TV, but if you're feeling stressed, what you need to do is cut things off an hour early and go to bed. Be still. But right now, some of you are getting stressed out by that. I have so much to do. I could never go to bed early. We get worked up about our schedules. We get worked up about what we have to do. But the answer is not in more production. It's actually in better production. And you get better production when you're rested and when you allow stillness to be a part of your life. I don't know if you're familiar with Gandhi, but he was a world leader, came from India. And Gandhi was not a Christian. But Gandhi was known for prioritizing an hour of meditation and silence. And he was so dedicated to this that he just became known for it, that everyone knew it was a major part of his life and they wouldn't interrupt it and they wouldn't ask him to schedule anything during it. They knew that he just was committed to an hour of meditation. When the height of his popularity and the height of his busyness, on one of the busiest days that he ever had, he tells his followers and the group of people around him that he wasn't going to meditate for an hour, and they gasped. And they just thought something's wrong. He never breaks this. And so they were so curious, they asked him, they said, why aren't you gonna meditate for an hour? And this was Gandhi's response: I have so much to accomplish today that I must meditate for 2 hours instead of one. Being still can lead to better health, clearer thinking, and growth in emotional intelligence. There's a design agency called Navy. And the employees of Navy were constantly saying that they didn't have enough time to get work done. And the number one reason why they couldn't get work done is because of all the distractions at work. Because other people would talk to them or need them or ask them things, or because email or even social media would interrupt, that they were busy, they were working for long hours, but they weren't accomplishing a lot. So Navy's answer was to institute a mandatory quiet time. And they gave a mandatory quiet time for 30 minutes after lunch every single day. And at first, the employees pushed back against it, and they didn't like it. And they said things like, "We just have so much to do." But they stuck to their guns, and they said, "No, this is what we're doing. For 30 minutes, we're going to have no speaking, no communication." In fact, they took it so seriously that all the employees would take their smartphones, and they put them in a basket so they couldn't even get to them. During the 30 minutes of silence, they weren't allowed to check email. There were no meetings that happened, and they weren't allowed to talk to anyone in the office. They had to sit for 30 minutes in silence. And after a few months, after they started to embrace it, what they found is that the team is now 23% more productive than before the mandatory quiet time. 23% more productivity. In fact, they are so productive now that they take off Friday afternoons to go spend time with their family. Because 30 minutes of quiet time has led them to productivity, because they've been actually had time to think about the problems they're dealing with. And they come out of the quiet time and they're productive and they're getting stuff done and they're knocking stuff out and they're so productive, their bosses say, "Hey, let's go home on Friday afternoon." It's not, though, just being still. Being still is great. It is a part of it. It is healthy. And if you're here today and you don't believe in God, at least believe in science, that there are healthy benefits to being still. But if you're here today and you're a person of faith, it's not just about a quiet time where you don't say anything. It is in a stillness to seek out the presence of God. And Scripture tells us that if we seek God, we can find Him. But we don't just find Him in busyness. We don't find Him from running from one event to the next. We find Him actually in quietness. I love the quote by Bob Edelstein. He said, "The lack of reflection can lead to a superficial connection with ourselves." And one of the issues, one of the reasons why we're not progressing more, is because we don't like to deal with the demons that we face inside. Human beings, we hate any form of negativity. We hate to feel icky feelings. And so what we do is we repress all the negativity down. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons why we surround ourselves with noise and one of the reasons why we're so busy is because in silence, we actually hear about our own flaws and we hate it. We hate thinking about the mistakes that we've made. We hate thinking about how we've let someone down. We hate it. We hate to be alone in silence. But it is in silence and reflection and where you are able to grow. And if we don't make time for the silence and for the reflection, what happens is we never take care of the actual issues that are in our lives. And the truth of the matter is, I have some issues. And you have some issues. And just burying them deep down inside and hoping that they go away doesn't fix anything. What fixes it is when you embrace the fact that you're not perfect and you bring your imperfection to a holy God and you say, "God, this is who I am. I know you love me despite the fact that I'm not perfect, but I need your help to get over this." And when you receive the love of God in the midst of your imperfection, you find out who you are. You are a child of God that cannot shake His love. You have purpose. You have meaning. You are more. You are more than what you can accomplish. You are a child of the Most High. I find it fascinating the way that Jesus lived His life. When Jesus was here on the earth, He didn't just preach and tell us how to live. He actually modeled how we should live. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Jesus. I don't know if you've read through the Gospels and read about His account, but Jesus only had 3 years of an earthly ministry. And most people believe that about the age of 30, from 30 to 33, that's when He did His ministry. That's when He did His public preaching, and that's when He did all the healings. And so all the stories that we read about and everything that we hear about Scripture, it really only covers 3 years. Now put this in perspective just for a second. He knew that He only had 3 years. He knew He was going to die. He knew He was going to be crucified. And if you were Him and you thought, "I have 3 years to change the world," would you ever take a break? He has so much to accomplish, and He knows His end date. He knew it's only going to be 3 years. And yet, in the height of His popularity, in the height of when He had thousands of people gathered around Him, He had big, huge crowds, which isn't that what He wanted? Wouldn't he want to get his message out to the masses? In the midst of everyone wanting a piece of Jesus, the scripture says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Let that sink in just for a second. He had 3 years to change the world. And in the height of his popularity, he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So let me ask you, where's your quiet place? Where do you get alone? Where do you recharge in silence to hear the voice of God? If you don't know that answer, then the convicting part is that you are trying to live life in a way that not even God tried to live life. Why do we try to do what Jesus didn't do? It's because we've convinced ourselves that we need to help God out. We've convinced ourselves that we got to get busy, that we got to do things, so we just run from one event to the next. But Jesus often withdrew. Here's what happens when we are silent. Eventually we find that it's not the silence we're uncomfortable with, but it's ourselves. And the truth is that a lot of us don't feel like we're worthy of love. You may say out loud that God loves you, but inside you don't really feel like you're worthy of love. And it's why we chase approval all the time. It's why we want someone to compliment us. It's why we love social media. If social media didn't come with likes and with loves, we wouldn't be addicted to it. But we are desperate for someone to validate that what we're doing is worth it. What we're finding, though, is just leading us to more emptiness. And you might be uncomfortable with yourself, but I just want you to sit in this thought for a second. Do you really believe that God loves you? In the midst of the noise in your brain, when you start to think about your imperfections and you start to think about your failures and you start to think about all the ways you've messed up, does the voice of God break through that and say, you know what, it's okay. I know all the mess that you've done and I still love you. You are worthy of love. How do we know that? Because God sent His only Son to die for you. But until you believe that you're worthy of love, you'll never hear the voice of God, because the voice of God speaks in the midst of silence, and it tells you, I know you screwed up, but I love you anyway. You are worthy. You're worthy of the presence of God. The most important thing to realize is that silence is so deafening to us because in it we are left aware of our faults, of all our insecurities, of all our problems. When we become mindful of these and are left to face them by ourselves with no distractions, we want to escape. We want to avoid the one thing that helps us unite with our present reality, silence. But running away and refusing to face and embrace silence leaves us stagnant and unchanging. Our realities are still lurking beneath the surface. Our issues never go challenged, and we never change. If you're here today and you just don't quite buy into the whole God stuff, would you just at least accept what science says and what research says? Because I think you can get something out of this even if you don't want to believe in God. Even if you're like, hey, I don't know about that yet. I don't know what I believe. This is the way God has wired you even if you don't believe in Him. And research has shown that idleness is not just a vacation, an indulgence, or a vice. It is as indispensable to the brain as vitamin D is to the body. And deprived of it, we suffer a mental affliction as disfiguring as rickets. What's that saying? Well, you know the feeling you get in the wintertime when you just maybe feel a little low, maybe even a little depressed, and you just think to yourself, I can't wait for summer to get out in the sun because I just need that vitamin D. Well, the same thing goes on with your body when you don't have stillness, when you don't have silence. And that's not scripture speaking, that is scientific research. But if you're here today and you are a Christian, if you're here today and you are a follower of God, do you know His voice? Do you know what He says about you? Do you really believe that if you take a break, it'll be okay? Can you handle not everything getting done? What would your life look like if you rested in silence? Here's today's win. Write down the following prayer and make time to walk yourself through it. And plan 5 minutes of solitude a day. Now, I can't make you do this. This is optional. If you don't want to do this, that's fine. But if God's been speaking to you, if he's whispered to you that you may lack your purpose, you may lack some meaningness, or that you've just overscheduled your life, then this is a prayer and this is a challenge for you. This week, would you pray the following words? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Wait 5 minutes in silence and see what God says. Will you pray with me now? God, we come before you right now, and we just ask in Jesus' name that in the silence we would hear your voice. God, we so desperately need you. We have big problems. We have big issues, and some of them are self-inflicted. God, you know how scary it is for us to be alone in our thoughts, so we just ask that your voice would be louder than the insecure, that your voice would be louder than the negative thoughts, that your voice would be louder than the other voices in our life that just say we're not worthy. And God, would you help us to just rest in your presence? We ask in Jesus' name that you would speak to our hearts. That you would help inspire us to take a break so that we could actually accomplish more. And God, would you help us to know who we are in you? In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.